Hi, I'm Michelle Gelati Mandel.
And I'm Josh Mandel.
And this is the How Good's This podcast,
where we share with you our creative hacks learned from coupledom.
These thoughts and ideas have been inspired by our 2 decades together, which includes living and working in 3 different countries, 1 child, 1 dog, and lots of love notes.
And let's face it, we've also been inspired and have learned from the challenges we all face in our lives as couples. Tough times, family loss, we've learned from all of it.
So we hope you enjoy How Good's This, a podcast that encourages you to ask this simple question every day.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the How Good's This podcast, or I guess we should say welcome back.
Welcome back. Yes. And today we're talking about, well, the title for this one that we thought was pretty perfect is Stories Not Told. And we're calling this Relationship Hack Number 2. So this is really all about the magic, or really the realization that Josh and I had in relationship that sort of helped us to really look at the world and look at other people and look at our learning of the world and of other people in a whole new way.
Yeah. So the idea with this one is that, especially in a relationship like ours, where we've been together for 19, going on 20 years now, that's a lot of shared time together, and we love being together. So I think that as a couple, we actually spend more time than most together. But what we realized over time happens is that you really start to have kind of a shared history, and you forget that there are things that you can still share from your individual lives, or, you know, even if it's your life that you've lived separately in relationship because of work trips or what have you, there are still things that you have not shared with your other that can, you know, kind of give you a conversational tool chest and fun things to dive into. We just did a little intro video for Facebook about this specific podcast. And one of the things I talked about was, I challenge you to go just grab a piece of paper and a pen and sit down for 10 minutes and just start to do a little mental inventory of your life when you were a kid at home, your life during middle school, maybe family trips that you took. And I guarantee you'll start to uncover stories that you haven't shared with your significant other. Now, whether they're interesting stories or not, but, you know, that's a little issue that I had to wade through. But
true. And what, regardless of if they're interesting or not, the, you know, sort of the goal or the intention or the excitement that you and I found through going, you know, going through this exercise is that it can really deepen not just your conversations, but it can deepen your relationship. It can connect you even more. It can engage you in a way that maybe you've really needed to be re-engaged.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think especially if you're a guy like me who errs a little bit on the side of introversion, it reminds you that there are plenty of things that you can bring up spontaneously to chat about when the moment's right.
Yeah.
So somehow I drew the lot of going first.
Short straw.
What that really sprung from the realization that if we were going to do rock, paper, scissors to decide, I was going to lose anyway. So I'm going to go first. And for the purposes of the podcast specifically, I have to say I struggled just a little bit because I pulled out a couple of stories that I think I haven't told you. Getting lost overnight in Lisbon when I was a student. Have I told you that one?
No.
Okay. But that one's kind of like leans a little bit more towards funny. And I was kind of thinking like, you know, in the context of the podcast and getting to that idea of creative hacks, I actually chose a different story. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you that story later. But of course, it involves copious amounts of alcohol, and it was pre-app days. So anyway, but the story actually that I chose, and I'll tell you why, there's a couple of reasons after, but as you know, hun, the house that I grew up in Southern California backs up on what used to be a pretty sizable gully. Now it's kind of been claimed by more and more of the building and houses going up. But back in the day when we were kids, it was a wilderness to us, even though, you know, probably in retrospect wasn't that big. But we spent a lot of our time growing up, especially in the summers, just kind of wandering back through that gully and, you know, building forts and doing all the things that kids do. I think, you know, because we were a family that was, you know, came together later on. There was two brothers, two stepbrothers. We went in and kind of claimed our own parts of the gully as opposed to building things collectively. But, you know, it was what you would expect from a childhood at that time, getting out and exploring and being on your own for a while, not even knowing what time it was, eventually your mom calling you for lunch. But one day I was out doing all of those sorts of things, and it being Southern California, there's a nice mix of, you know, pine trees and chaparral and cactus, because of the mix of the topography. And one day I, was walking through the area that I had claimed and stepped on a piece of cactus that was on the ground and drove a really long needle through my foot. And freaked out.
Wait, and how old were you? Sorry.
I was probably like 8 or 9 at the time. It was, you know, just after the remarriage. And so completely flipped out, like looked down at my foot, saw this needle through it, dropped to my knees, started crawling to get back home. You know, I'd get up, I'd kind of hobble a little bit and then drop back to my knees. And, you know, it was like, it's all very dramatic, which is part of the story. Finally, like, made it all the way back up to my driveway, and I'm coming up the driveway, and I'm screaming for my mom, and I think my aunt was visiting at the time, so she came out too, and they came out, looked at my foot, grabbed the end of the needle, pulled on it, got it out, kind of patted me on the head, and walked away. So the part that's slightly embarrassing about that story is I was a little bit of a drama queen, drama king back then. You know, with the remarriage and everything that went on with that, I was like seeking ways for attention. You know, that was a good kind of subconscious message to me about like what that whole period of life was about, which was my mom letting me kind of get out and do my thing. And then when I actually got hurt doing it, she kind of just like laughed it off and went back to her thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So I brought that story up for two reasons. One is because one of the things that you and I talk about is that I don't kind of out myself or poke fun at myself enough. Mm-hmm. And as I've...
It's true, you guys. It's true. Really true.
I'll admit it to the public. So it was partially that, to kind of like, that was the fun part of it, was to talk about my drama-ness back then. But I also, the reason why I ultimately chose it for this particular podcast was two reasons, like I said. The first one is, you know, as we talk about creative hacks for coupledom, we as a couple have a son who's 12. And one of the things that you and I have been talking a lot about recently is allowing him to find a new balance of independence relative to the life that he spends with us. Because he's an only child, he spends an awful lot of time with us. So you have been really great, I think, about kind of pushing, not in an overt way, but pushing him into moments of independence, getting out of the house, riding around the neighborhood on his scooter by himself, not with us around, and seeing him kind of like enjoying that trust and that independence. So I brought it up in that context because, you know, not to draw big like cultural statements, but, you know, one of the things that's great about today's day and age is that we're able to really participate in Nolan's life. But I think as a result of that, we also as a couple have had to be conscious of allowing him his space and making sure that he claims his space, because he's getting to that age where he needs to be out there and, you know, messing up. And maybe he potentially sees himself as a drama king at one point and has to kind of like reassess, like, oh, wait, hold on a second. I kind of made a big deal out of nothing there. And it's all on me. You know, it's not my parents coming in to sort the situation out for me. So that was one of the reasons why, in the context of the podcast, I thought the story was funny. But I also, the second one was, I thought about it in the context of us as a couple and being in relationship, but also having the freedom to have a parallel life. And I don't mean a separate life, but I mean a parallel life.
I like where you're going. I didn't know. Again, this is kind of an unexpected little gift. I like it.
Yeah. And that idea that but you and I, as we've grown, we've both maintained things that feed us as individuals. So for me, it's the reading and learning on the side. It's, you know, we introduced in the first episode that my background was in philosophy and I still want to keep learning, just trying to figure out why does the world work the way it does? Why are people the way they are? I'm reading a book on, you know, behavioral economics right now.
What's that one called?
I can't remember.
Oh,
it's over there. That in order to have a good relationship, there needs to be growth that isn't just growth in the relationship. And that's when you're able to bring new stories and new energy and new thinking back into the relationship, because you've actually grown and done something by yourself as an individual. You do it through the spiritual learning and evolution that you've been going through the teacher training you did for yoga and the constant practice of it, what you're doing with your business and where that's going. And it all creates new things that we can bring back to the crucible of the relationship and share with one another. And I wonder sometimes whether, you know, I think part of why some relationships suffer is they get caught up in the routine of child rearing and schedules and going to and from work, and they lose themselves in that kind of routine and rigmarole. So that was my story. One was to out myself, and two, I thought I kind of spoke to where we are as parents and also why having the space to go out and explore and do things that feed you as an individual are good things for a relationship.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, there's a couple things. I didn't want to interrupt you as you were sharing your story, but there's a couple of things that I would love to share and maybe just do a minute or two of conversation before I hop into mine. And one is, you couldn't be more right. The independence part of our relationship, meaning the part of my life where I get to continue to creatively do, meaning, you know, to create, to the side of this relationship, to the side of my motherhood, to the side, you know, just what a gift, you know, what a gift that's been to me as a woman, what a gift that's been to me as a creative individual, what a gift that's been to me as a mother. You know, I am the sort of the main, you know, caretaker, if you will, or I don't know what word to use, but here at home, you know, I pick Nolan up from school. I help him with his homework, you know, before you kind of come home, because I have the business that I do from here. So that's great. And so for me, I think as a mother as well, and for any of you mothers listening, if either you have this right now or did have it at one point or are aspiring to have it in your family or in your life, I think one of the things that's allowed really this opening or this conversation, this opportunity is me consistently bringing up or letting you know how important it has been. And you've let me know as well. But speaking from my side, how important I have made this, you know, and how much I've brought it into our conversations consistently. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. And then there's, you know, and then I thought of, you know, when you were talking about how us having sort of this life to the side of our relationship, and how we've been able to bring things into our relationship as a result of having those sort of independent experiences. I love that we've been able to do that. And here's the sort of flip of that. I've also loved to be able to have these independent experiences and ahas and, you know, I'll leave it there, really ahas. And also just keep them for myself. Like I think it's beautiful, and I know we both do this, where we do share from those times, from those other sort of friendships or relationships. And then I love, you know, to connect it back to you being a child or Nolan being a child. There's just sometimes, or maybe lots of times, where, you know, in life, it feels so good to keep those conversations, to keep those experiences as, you know, in like your treasure chest, you know, of life, where not that it's locked away, but where you just have something that's all your own. Mm-hmm. And so as much as I am grateful that, you know, these experiences have brought us together, because it has opened up conversation, it has deepened our conversations, and you've seen my excitement coming back home from a business trip, or I've seen your excitement, you know, after a new book, or whatnot. And then I see also, and I recognize and am a true witness to the power and the meaning and the value of knowing that when you go off and do those things, that it's okay, that it's okay for any of us, you know, to keep it for ourselves. So here's my question for you, or to you from your story. Thank you for outing yourself and poking fun at yourself around the, and I used to be a drama queen. I cannot believe, did you ever think that you would say those words in relation to yourself? Because I do not see you as a drama queen, or drama king, or queen for that matter.
Well, yeah, I've known it for sure back then. Yeah. I needed attention, you know. I found different ways to try to get it.
Which leads me into my question, which is, did you, and this is going to lead us into my sharing or my story untold did you feel like either in that moment, 8 years old, you have this, you know, needle in your foot, did you feel in that moment or did you feel in that time of your life, you know, the divorce had happened, you're now introduced to this new, you know, new father, two new brothers, two new stepbrothers. Do you feel like you actually got what you needed as a kid? Because that, as you know, that topic is really of huge interest to me right now.
That's probably a whole nother podcast, but no, I don't think I got what I needed, but what I needed wasn't attention. Mm. What I needed was, even, you know, being that young, was to probably have somebody to talk to say like, hey, it's not on anybody else. It's on you to get this sorted out, you know?
Wow. We can just take a moment there, because I feel like everything that I'm learning about life and happiness and have been learning for a long time, and what I share with clients, is that it's always up to us.
Yeah.
So speaking of
it, what do you got?
Yeah. Speaking of it being up to us, which is exactly why we did this podcast. It's up to us to infuse life and happiness into our existence. So my story is not as sort of funny, but it does come off of, well, something recent, and it does sort of come off of that last bit, you know, why I asked you, hey, do you feel like you got what you needed as a child? So 4 or 5 days ago, I went to my second, and you know this part, you don't know the rest of this, but you do know that I went to a hypnotherapy session, right?
Right.
A few days ago. And it was my second session, the first session that I've ever had that involved hypnosis was hypnosis as I was putting together a vision board. I know that sounds crazy, and it wasn't necessarily crazy, but it was definitely crazy cool. I was in a group of about 5 or 7 women, and there was a hypnotherapist who was there who basically got a room full of, well, a small group of women into this, you know, hypnotic state, meditative state. And then from that place, you know, I think she snapped her fingers, and then we got up from our chairs and got to the table and, you know, started doing our vision boards. This is about 5 or so years ago. And I remember telling you about that. But the hypnotherapy session that I had this week or this last week was way different than that. And I purposely did not tell Josh any of it because I wanted to share it in this podcast. So here goes. So I'm sitting there in front of this doctor, and I am in the most comfortable leather chair you've ever had, you know, where you can like move it, right, up and down, blanket, the whole thing. She works for about 20 minutes. Well, first of all, she does an intake. So she's just talking to me about, you know, what I do for a living and where I come from, and we're just kind of, you know, being friendly. And she's writing notes. And then from there, she went into about 20 minutes of her work, which is sort of the first session or the first stage of work, which is getting me into a really meditative space. So not yet into like the hypnotic state, but just really, I felt like I had just done a half hour meditation or even a 10 minute meditation.
It's kind of relaxing and getting present. And
Yes. And in that moment, she asked me what I sort of wanted to work on. And what was really wonderful, and the reason, again, just being very aware of wanting to share this, you know, these different parts of it with you all. The first thing that was really interesting is that, you know, what a benefit this sort of meditative state is, because when someone asks you a question, when you're that relaxed, I did not let my mind confuse me. Mm-hmm. It was just when she said, what do you want to work on? I literally spoke from my intuition. You know, I spoke from the gut. I spoke from what was real, you know? And so she asked me that. And then after about those 20 minutes, she got me into the into the sort of trance, if you will. When I was in that super meditative space, the hypnotic space, she then asked me to, and I was, you know, had my eyes closed the whole time. She then asked me to look up at the screen in front of me. I had a screen in front of me. And that I was going to see myself as a five-year-old girl. I was going to see myself as a five-year-old girl leaving Guatemala. And just as an aside, for those of you who don't know, I moved to the States 38 years ago at 5 years old. I woke up one morning and the door was open to my house. I was wearing this little German dress, these little white clogs. And the door was open to the front of the house. And I remember asking our housekeeper slash nanny who was with me every day, asking her what's going on, what's happening, because I could see men going in, or I was walking next to men who were taking out, you know, my toys and, you know, suitcases and in and out. And just, you know, as little kids, for any of you, you know, for any of us who have been through any situation, and whether it was a happy situation or a light situation, you never lose these feelings. Like, I will never, ever forget just feeling sort of confused and knowing that this wasn't like any other, you know, regular day. Well, she proceeded to actually tell me everything was the same when, in fact, it was not the same. You know, probably 2 hours later or so, I was at the Guatemala International Airport, where my mother, my grandmother, and my brother were leaving Guatemala, unbeknownst to my father. My mother was, well, unbeknownst to him, we were leaving. He and my mom, she was in an abusive relationship with him. You know, he had for years not been very kind, to say the least, and it had gotten to a point where it was truly unsafe. And so my grandmother, who had lived in the States or was living in the States, she had bought us tickets. She had somehow stolen our passports from him that he kept in the room somewhere. And we were off. We were off on a Pan Am flight. And my grandmother cried every time that she told me the story, which over the years, she probably told me, gosh, 10 to 20 times. She was a great storyteller. And she would cry every time she would get to the part where the wheels were lifting up off of the ground. And she said, Michelle, I knew when the wheels lifted that you were safe and that I had done it. And so here I am essentially watching this on the screen.
And you're under hypnosis now.
I'm under hypnosis. Okay. Yeah, I'm under hypnosis. And the hypnotherapist, she says, now, I want you to tell your five-year-old self. I want you to now, with what you know, with the wisdom that you have and with the life that you've led since, I want you to talk to her. And I also want you to give her some tools, tools that would help her go through her life from that moment moving forward. Now, I should back up for 1 second and tell you that when she snapped her fingers, you know, in this session, and these are two different hypnotherapists, but very similar sort of process heading up to it. When she snapped her fingers and said, I just realized I'm giving another part of the story away. Will you remind me to go back to this part?
What part?
The snapping the fingers part.
Okay.
So I'm under hypnosis. However, she has not snapped her fingers yet to get me back to my five-year-old self. Now, I'm an adult. I am me looking at the five-year-old on the screen. So I basically, honey, proceeded to tell myself, to give myself tools. And so, and here's, oh my gosh, it makes me emotional thinking about it. It was so beautiful because she had me do this in Spanish. Spanish is my first language. She said, now, you know, I want you to talk to her. And she said, now, you know, was the language you were speaking them? She said, I'm assuming it was Spanish. And I said, yes. She said, so I'd like for you to do it in Spanish. And I had this moment of, it was excitement, but it was nerves. It was, and I'm fluent, you know, I'm fluent in Spanish. Yeah. But there was this, it was like I was meeting, I don't know, like the ambassador to, like, it was almost like the nerves of meeting someone that you've, like a celebrity, you know, meeting someone that you've always wanted to meet. and that you never thought you would meet. It was like that, honey. It was part humorous. It was part sad, you know, kind of sort of like the sadness or sort of a melancholy sort of feeling. And it was just an excitement of OMG. I get to meet my five-year-old self and tell her what's most important, you know, for her to think about. So here's the first thing that came out as I'm in, you know, in that hypnotic state, which was, first of all, I was telling her in Spanish that she would always be safe. That no matter what, and this is all in Spanish, I won't do it in Spanish, but, you know, I was telling her, you're always going to be safe. As you travel through life, just remember that you can, if you ever feel unsafe, if you ever feel unsure, you can be that safety for yourself. You can say to yourself, I am safe, I am safe. You can just continue to remind yourself of the truth. Of the truth is that we are the ones that makes, you know, that can make ourselves feel happy. And so I went on and on telling her that everything that she is currently experiencing at that airport, everything that she felt when she landed in the United States, everything that she continued to experience through her teen years, you know, wondering as she was writing poetry, sort of wondering and feeling really sad about leaving her biological father, even though it was a tough situation and it was totally the right thing to do. Of course, as a teenager, you know, I had a lot of emotion around that, and I felt really sad, and I felt almost slightly responsible for leaving him. And so, you know, here I was telling her that through all the teenage experiences, through the, my 20s, and literally, honey, I was going like phase by phase by phase by phase. Everything little Michelle, I would say, everything little Michelle is preparing you, you know, for the woman, for the work, you know, that you get to do, for the mother that you're going to be. And all of it is, it's all, I don't think I said it's all good, but I did say something to the effect of, it is all for something. It's all for something really big. And I just kept repeating, you are safe, you are safe. Just keep reminding yourself that you're safe. And then as I gave her another tool beyond that sort of intention or mantra that she could say to herself, another tool that I gave to her, which again, you're in this meditative, super deep, deep, deep meditative state. And I even remember saying to the hypnotherapist with my eyes closed, saying, well, this is interesting. Right now, what's coming is I'm telling her, I want to tell her that another tool is when you're unsure or when you see other adults being unsure in your life, you know, because I did feel a lot of that when I was younger. Just go up to them and give them a hug. And so I actually at that point had a conversation with the hypnotherapist, and we talked about that, and she thought it was really interesting as well. And I said, yeah, I just feel like, you know, sometimes when we feel unsure of ourselves, the very thing that we need to do beyond sort of letting ourselves know that we're safe is connecting with another human being. There no words need to be exchanged. But just the love, you know, that touch, that physical touch that I think that I know I really needed and wanted throughout my life, I was telling her to give that. I was telling her to give that because when we give away what we need, we get it back, and we get it back tenfold. So you know, the sort of last parts that I want to share with you around that is, you know, how when she did snap her fingers.
Is this what I was supposed to remind you of?
Yes.
The finger snap? Okay.
Yes. Finger snap was leading me into my five-year-old self. So she said now, and basically the last 15 minutes of the session. So this is like an hour and 15-minute session, right? And then you picked me up. She snapped her fingers. I got into my five-year-old self. And honey, my whole body, it was the craziest, coolest thing. My whole body had gone from the Michelle, you know, the me, Michelle, you know, current moment, current for 43-year-old form sitting in that leather chair, to the 5-year-old me, where I was obviously still in the chair, sort of in a similar space, but all of a sudden the top of my torso sort of turned a certain way, and my little head, like my head, it felt like what a little girl would look like in that big leather chair, almost you know, akin to Lily Tomlin in That Big Chair. You know, remember that?
Yeah. From a long time. The Incredible Shrinking Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I felt like that, where all my body just changed, my sort of, what's it called?
Physicality.
My physicality changed. Yeah. And I remember, because you're still conscious, so you're aware of what's happening, but I remember sort of the soft smile came across my face, and I thought, how cool is this? Not only did I just meet this amazing person, this little five-year-old that wanted so much, that needed so much, that meaning needed so many answers, that, you know, wanted things to be okay and always knew, you know, I've always been, you know me, I've always been an optimist, but and not only knew things were going to be okay, but really sort of made that sort of happen in her own life, that not only did I get to meet her, but then I got to be her and I got to feel that little body. I got to feel, you know, how great that, that blanket felt on me. And then basically for the last 10, 12, 13 minutes, she just let me lay there. As the little girl, me, and then she sort of took me out of hypnosis through sort of a kind of the, you know, opposite effect of the meditative state. Like she went sort of the opposite way. And that is how I woke up. And, you know, you and Nolan were outside. And so I think, you know, I share that story with you because A, it's something recent that happened that you didn't know about. And that I've been sort of holding on to for the last many days. And so that's exciting, sharing something with you recent that I haven't told you yet. And then secondly, and most importantly, is, you know, sharing with you similar to, you know, how I see Nolan's life, like sharing with you, you know, the value of sort of imperfection, or sharing with you, in other words, you know, how much my five-year-old self, how much I, and any, all of us, but, you know, now that I'm sharing my story, how much I went through and how much of my story was, you know, based in or birthed from sort of confusion and, you know, maybe not feeling always so safe, but how all of those experiences, and of course I had many moments of feeling totally loved too, but I'm sure as kids, you know, we're learning about the world. Like it's, you're bound to feel unsafe at times. You're bound to feel like I'm not getting what I need. And what I just want to say to you is that I'm so grateful that you see me. Like, I am so grateful that you have always been so open to my sharing, always been so open to my imperfections, always been so open to allowing me sort of talk those through, and just really how much gratitude I have as well for everything that has brought me and that brought me to meet you, that brought me to the point of realizing, really opening my eyes and realizing that I was never going to repeat that cycle. I was never going to repeat history. That, you know, when I met you that night at karaoke and we talked for 4 hours, and by the way, everyone, you know, we were working together at the time, but when we talked that night, there was just such clarity in my mind. And I obviously had chosen like great men to date before, but there was something so special and so unique about you that I knew that I deserved that kind of love. I knew that I deserved a man who heard me, you know, who allowed me to really, you know, share all of my stories and who would see the value of the imperfections, because it is, you know, it's part of what we, you know, it's part of who we all are, and it's
the
part
whole
of
thing.
Yeah.
It's and part it's, of the whole thing of relationship.
That's right. And it's part of my, you know, the creativity, you know, the spontaneity, all those things that are part of our lives right now. So thank you for listening.
That's awesome.
I love you.
That was fun. But I have a couple questions.
Yes.
One's an observation. So that was really cool. So basically what she set up was you giving your five-year-old self advice, and then you became the five-year-old self that had received the advice, and you just got to be in that state of having received that wisdom. That's really interesting.
Oh, I like how you said that.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I for people who haven't undergone hypnosis, I know one question would be, how did you feel? Did you feel different when you were in that hypnotic state?
I would say the biggest difference is just how my mind wasn't a part of the equation at all. So imagine feeling like clean slate, kind of like a question would come in and you would sort of immediately know the answer, but you hadn't thought about it.
Just present.
Complete presence.
So that's probably something for another podcast as well. That's what meditation does for me, is it quiets those kind of like rational chatterbox voices in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing, the last thing actually that is kind of an observation too, I loved that one of the pieces of advice that you were giving was that the 5-year-old girl has the power and that she can make herself happy. Because I think that's something that all of us struggle with, is in you know, big, bad ways and also small kind of daily ways, is looking for our happiness outside of ourselves. You know, whether it's from, you know, we've all done it, sports teams or relationships that aren't the right relationships for us, or expectations that we have for other people. And then when those expectations aren't met, then we're unhappy. But really, it's all inside us. Is the wellspring of it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Suppose. Oh, I love. Thank you for being, you know, being present and sharing back with me what that was, because it's so rare that any of us, whether you're a man or a woman, so rare that we sit in the receiving of something, where we just say thank you. Where we just sit and allow someone to support us, or allow us ourselves to just feel good, you know? Yeah. We're always off to the next thing, you know? Or we're just, I think as a humanity, you know, we're not used to allowing ourselves to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that is a good place to wrap episode 2. We hope you guys all enjoyed that out there. Stories not told. And we hope that you, through the experience of it, have gotten some inspiration for how you might take that on yourself.
Absolutely. And you know, hopefully there's been some magic here for you, or, you know, the realization that I know Josh and I had, where, you know, again, this is not just about conversation between you and a romantic partner or even a loved one, but where the magic or the realization of, you know, hearing our stories, how, and there's still so many more, FYI, we each have lists that are kind of quite, you know, a lot longer than I thought, of stories untold, that, you know, if we as a couple who have been together for almost 20 years, and we communicate a lot, we talk a lot, we share a lot, that if we can find stories untold, if we can find basically more of ourselves to give, that there is that exploration, and that there is that closeness and that magic that you can also find out in the world, or with strangers, or with picking up a guitar, or learning new topics. Like, there is more to explore. So, you know, attempting to, like, resisting the urge that sometimes we have to say, oh, this is just how it is in relationship, or, oh, I'm just in routine. No, we always have the choice. We always have an ability to explore. And so hopefully there is that change, there is that evolution, and there is that curiosity that will continue to, you know, be piqued as you continue to move forward in your relationships and your experience of the world. So should we let them know what's maybe potentially coming up next?
Yeah, let's do that. So a couple of topics that we're going to explore in the next episodes. One is something Michelle and I have been talking about recently, which is things we're afraid of. So it may be topics that you're uncomfortable talking about with your significant other. It might be things that you as an individual don't want to address, but it's actually having the courage through the trust of the relationship to bring up and address things that you're actually afraid of.
Love that one. I can't wait for that one. And then another one that we're thinking about is, and the potential title might be, Love is Enough, and Then It Isn't. And this is really just a conversation that probably, when did we think about this or talk about this? 6, 7, 8, 9 months ago, where, you know, with the deep love and respect that Josh and I have for each other, you know, we realized, wow, there is that point, or there is that truth where love is a lot, meaning love heals a lot and love gives a lot, and it is of huge value. And then there does come a time, and I know we realize this in our relationship, there absolutely does come a time in relationship, and maybe really it's at the very beginning, where love is important, and, you know, doing the things that we promised we would say, you know, that we promised that we would do and doing them, you know, or sort of, I remember bringing this up to Josh and saying, hey, honey, you know, our family, like, it does need to run almost like a little business, meaning we need to have lists and we need to, you know, you can't forget X or Y or Z and vice versa, you know? So it's, I think that one's going to be slightly funny, but there is, a deeper meaning, there as well, is that,
yep.
You know, there's just so much, when we say so much to explore, there's also so much to explore on the side of looking at family and looking at your coupleship as a sort of a well-run, what's that phrase?
Well-run, smooth business.
Yeah. Or well-run ship. I think there's another phrase for that.
That might be right.
Something like that. Anyways, so those are just two of our examples and of what's coming next. And we can't wait to, you know, explore more with you. I know Josh is going to be talking more too around some of the books that he's been reading. He is an avid reader. I think it's a book a week. He is, you know, like you said, still really big into philosophy. I'm going to be sharing more around yoga philosophy and around different insights that I've had as we have grown and gone deeper into the Greater Good Party and sort of life projects, you know, bringing that stuff up and going deeper into it. So we hope that today you enjoyed the How Goods of this podcast. We hope that the creative hacks and the creative conversation that we've opened the door to today have lit you up and encouraged you. And as always, we really hope that you get into action around these things.
Yep. That was good.
That was really good. All right, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of the day. And remember to keep asking yourself, how good's this? That's today's podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Feel free to share. And if you could take 2 minutes and leave us a rating on iTunes, it would mean so much to us.
We hope you've been moved to find your own answers to the question, how good's this?